Welcome everyone to the Sister Stories podcast. The aim of this podcast is to marvel at God's sovereignty over each of our lives as women and to encourage one another by sharing our stories. My name is Sophie and today I'm joined by Tilewa. Hello.
Hi.
Hello. So to start with, can you tell us who you are?
Okay. My name is Tilewa. I'm married to Stephen and we are blessed to have a son called Malachi. He's about 2.5 years old.
Great. And what do you do?
I'm a therapeutic support worker. So I work on a farm with young people with high anxiety and mental health support needs. Mm-hmm. I do that for 3 days a week. And then the rest of the time, I'm a stay-at-home mum with Malachi.
Lovely. So we're going to be talking about your journey with Christ and your walk with him throughout your life. So if we go to the beginning, could you tell us a little bit about your family background and how you were brought up?
Yeah. So I was born in Swindon. When I was about 18 months old, we went to Nigeria with my mum and my dad and my three older brothers. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, we all got really ill. My mum, me and my brothers got really ill. So we didn't stay in Nigeria very long, as my understanding was that we were moving over there to live. Mm-hmm. So we got brought back and my grandma and granddad nursed us back to health, praise God. And then at some point after that, my mum and dad divorced. So I was raised by my mum and mum raised four children, which I take my hat off to anyone who has more than one child. Yes. As much as a joy and a pleasure having Malachi is. I can imagine four being hard work.
Yeah, on your own especially.
Especially me as one of them. but anyway, we were in Swindon till I was about 11 years old. And my grandparents were Christians, but they weren't go-to-church Christians. Like, it might be on the TV. They would most probably go at Christmas time, but they weren't weren't even Sunday Christians going to church. And I had a godmother who used to post me bits and pieces every so often through my childhood and my early teens, and then that stopped. So when I was 11, I went on to we were in Swindon until I was 11 years old. My schooling was in a Catholic school in Swindon, so I would hear hymns. We would go to Holy Communion. I had my Holy Communion. I don't think I ever really understood what it was, but I loved singing the songs, like, you know, Father, we place into your hands and things like that. I really felt encouraged by those songs, but didn't understand really why. So I had Holy Communion and my best friend also had Holy Communion with me. But unfortunately, soon after, she passed away really suddenly. So I knew, like, she was in hospital, but I didn't know that she'd passed away. And I found out through going to, like, a youth club and being teased about the fact that she died. So I sort of found out about her death quite traumatically. So my mum was a spiritualist at that point, and so she thought it would help me to go to a spiritualist meeting. So we went to a spiritual meeting, and the idea of that, for anyone who doesn't know, and my I was about 8 years old, so my belief in it was very little, or my understanding, but the understanding that my mum told me was that basically anybody who's died, who's got a loved one, they come along and they speak through a person and they speak to you. So I was like, right, well, my friend loved me. There's no way that she wouldn't find a way to speak to me. So I went in with an understanding that I was going to speak to my friend at that point. Well, it didn't happen. We know it wouldn't happen. It didn't happen. And, like, looking back now, like, through this time of knowing that I was coming here and reflecting on my life, it just reminds me of 1 Kings. And, you know, when Baal and Elijah, and Elijah and the bull sacrifice. And it felt like looking back now, I can be like, it was like that, you know, I went and I was incredibly upset and I was crying and I, you know, I was uncontrollably upset calling out for my friend.
Yes.
And every time that someone spoke to someone or something, I was like, my friend should be here. My friend should be here.
Mm.
And she wasn't, you know, as we know, as I know now as a Christian, you know, it would never have happened. But back then I wasn't a Christian. I wasn't of faith, you know, and as you know, in 1 Kings, then like, Elijah pours water over his sacrifice, yes. you know, and douses it, and then prays.
And God answers.
Exactly, yeah. God answers. He not only sets fire to the bull sacrifice, he gets rid of all the water. Like, you know, Christian faith and our God is able to do so much.
Yes.
But anyway, that wasn't that part of it. So that made me doubt spiritualism.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't understand... I still didn't believe in Christianity,
sure.
but I believed there was something.
Yeah.
I just wasn't sure what. So in my mind, I just believed that, you know, if there's something looking out there for me, and if I was in a moment, I would just say, heavens, please help me.
Mm.
You know, I it was kind of like a blanket to something.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, that kind of digressed a little bit, but to get you to understand that side of...
Yes. What about your grandparents at that time? Did they offer any support or if a Christian perspective on what happened or not really?
I don't remember that, but I must admit, because of how everything went down, there's only certain bits that I actually remember.
No,
brains
are
fantastic. fantastic support network and, you know... there's just snippets. So they may have, but I don't actually remember anyone going, which would have been the perfect time to have sat me down and explained to me about Jesus and about God.
Yeah.
But I can't remember it ever being done. Not saying they didn't, but I can't remember it happening.
Yeah. But at the same time, when you're in that grief, it might not be the best time either. I mean, God knows when is the best time, doesn't he?
100%. And like looking back on my life, I see so many snippets, so many little times that he was there. I just, you know, knocking at the door of my life, but I just didn't open the door for him yet.
Yeah.
You know? So anyway, we moved on. We moved on when I was 11 and we moved from Swindon. So from quite a busy area to the remote part of the New Forest. So we moved to a little town, and I mean a little town. If anyone knows the New Forest, called Branscore.
Mm.
Very, very small. At that time, my mum was struggling a little bit with her relationship with alcohol.
Mm, okay.
But God gave me my aunt.
Mm,
and she was my support network. She was amazing. And she actually took me to church.
Did she?
So I was hanging around in rural Branscore there was a big collective of children, so I'd be hanging around with them on a, you know, Friday, Saturday after school, and then on a Sunday my auntie took me to church. And I was most probably about 13-14 when I remember this kind of happening. And she would try to talk to me about things, and we would go to church, but I was of that age where I didn't want to go to kids' club. Mm-hmm. You know, I was 13, 14, you know, I knew the world. So I would sit in the service, but I think I didn't ever really understand what was being said to me. But what I did understand was I loved having that time with my auntie. Mm. It was just me and my auntie, and we were, you know, going somewhere that was about us. And, you know, obviously my auntie was trying to show me something, but I wasn't able to see it.
Yeah.
But I went to a weekend away Christian camp.
Mm.
And I remember being in that camp, and I can remember sort of over the weekend thinking, wow, people have fun without drinking. And I couldn't understand it, because that was the culture that I was in. You know, we were running around in a little town that didn't even have a policeman there. They would have to ship a policeman in if they needed anything. You know, we were having weekends, we were drinking and, you know, partying and having fun. So to go away and dance and listen to music and for there to be no alcohol involved was something that I really stood out in my mind. And I kind of couldn't understand it and when I spoke to the other people that I was hanging out with, they were like, no, we don't drink. It was foreign to them. Mm. Unfortunately, soon after that, or some time after that, I don't know when in the grand scheme of things, my auntie and my mum's relationship failed really badly.
Okay.
So I wasn't, through that, my relationship unfortunately had to stop with my auntie. Mm. I hadn't made any friends at church that someone would be like, oh, where's Talewa? We need to check in and maybe try and pull her back. There was nobody pulling back. So my life just went back to the world.
Right.
I would still sing hymns every so often. I had my little hymn book. My mum, though she was a spiritualist, she'd given me a children's Bible, a beautiful, I've still got it to today. I read it with Malachi and it's got beautiful pictures, you know, beautiful. And I'd sometimes look through that, and sometimes in my teenage years, I'd get bits and pieces from my godmother. So God was still in the background, but I definitely didn't have a relationship with him. And so life went on.
Yes.
Went to finished school.
Yeah.
And there was two things I always said I knew I would do. I would play the saxophone. I play it terribly, but I do play it. And I would work with animals.
Right.
And through school, they were like, you won't do it. You won't do it. You can't apply yourself. You won't work with animals. Mm-hmm. So I found myself a college that I could go to. So I moved out at 16 and went and lived on site in Winchester and went to Sparshall College. Mm-hmm. And work with the animals. And that was God taking me away from that situation. Mm. It was taking me away from some people's lives that were going down a dark path. And some, you know, I lost a friend in later years to drugs and things like that. But God lifted me out of that environment and took me to a whole environment where people were inspired.
Yeah.
They weren't Christians. Or I know a couple of them were, but they didn't talk about Christianity or God or anything like that. But I made a very, very tight knit of college friends that I'm still incredibly close to till this day. And through that and through the lecturers, I got to work with animals. God blessed me to carry me through with that certainty. So I got to travel around working with sea lions and parrots and travel around England and go abroad and work with lions and tigers and cheetahs and giving them the best life in captivity that we could, and educating people about them, and, you know, walking cheetahs around zoos so they could get extra exercise. And God really blessed me through that time. Though I didn't know it at the time, kind of thing.
Yeah.
So life just kept going. And I then came back to England in 2012. My granddad had passed away. I'd helped nurse him a little bit before that. And my grandma, around 2011, had asked if I could come back into the country. Not so much like that, but she missed me. She missed seeing me. So I'd come back in the country. I'd been working a little while with sea lions and parrots, and decided with a friend of mine we'd set up our own business down by my grandma. So we did that in 2012. And I remember thinking, remember at that point I wasn't with God. So if I had any thoughts, it was to the heavens. And I remember thinking, it's time for me to actually have someone in my life that is the right type of person. So I remember sitting down, I wrote a list, and I was like, I don't want anything to do with anybody unless my partner has these qualities in life. You know, I whether it's that point in your life when you go, actually, I'm growing up now, let's get rid of the childish boys and actually look for a man, you know. And so I had a list and stopped dating anybody who didn't look like they had those qualities on paper. So anyway, this is bringing Stephen, my now husband, into my life. So in 2012, I moved with my business partner back to Bournemouth, and we start up an animal encounters business. Once again, no foundation in God. No foundation. She didn't believe in God. She believed in different things, but she went more to Buddhism.
Yeah.
And so whenever we need anything, once again, I would pray to the heavens, she would pray to she would rub Buddha's belly or whatever she did, and, you know, but no foundations really in Christ. So the business did well. We went to, we did therapeutic sessions with, in schools, and we went to retirement homes with barn owls and kookaburras and raccoons. And it was good. But my grandma got dementia.
Mm.
And I was power of attorney for my grandma. And she didn't want to be in nursing homes. So at that point, I'd been going to some really good nursing homes, some not so good ones. And I was like, grandma, some of these are like, you know, when you're in college and you're with your girls and like some of them are really, really good. Like, so we went there and she was like, I just want to be at home. So I said, okay. And I think in life you have choices. Mm. One of your choices is you look after your family and the other choice is work.
Yeah.
I think you'll never regret looking after your family. You'll never regret those choices to look after your family. You will regret those choices you take for work.
Mm.
So I came to understand my business partner, I would take a couple of days off.
Yeah.
I'd put someone in the place to work with the business, but I needed to have those 2 days to help my grandma. The beginning was very understanding, but then our friendship fell through the walls, and it couldn't be repaired.
Yeah.
So, you know, I was given a choice, the business or my grandma. Yeah. So, you know, God was great in this time. I missed one bit. I'm going to jump. So in 2012, yeah. Stephen moved to Bournemouth. Me and Stephen had met in this time and started dating.
I see.
So me and Stephen were dating. Mine and my business partner's relationship failed. And I was in that pit, that hole, and trying to figure out what was going on with my life.
Yeah.
Why things seemed great and they kept falling apart through different angles. And this is where I believe that if you've ever seen this YouTube video, so it's basically called Jesus versus Satan, the world and the spiritual battle.
Mm.
And it's amazing to, I found this YouTube video around this time and I kept watching it.
Mm.
And it was about how in the beginning she dances with Jesus and she has this lovely life with Jesus, and then the world and Satan come over and she starts dabbling in that world, and then Jesus is always in the background. You know, and that's how I felt in my life. He'd given me these snippets, but I never went back and danced with him. You know, I was too much in the world. And then at one point she hits a low in her world, and then she opens the door to Jesus, and then Jesus grabs the rope and he pulls her to him, and he fights off the devil, you know, and he brings her back and he dances with her and he's one with her. And I've digressed again because I'm...
Is that what the video made you want to have a relationship?
I kept watching it and I kept thinking like on my life, and I kept thinking like, there's something, but I don't understand what, and I don't...
Yeah.
Can Jesus save me? Like,
yeah.
Is this just a drama that's on YouTube that's very compelling because it's got an amazing song? Or is there
something? Did you do as a result of that?
Well, from that, I turned to Stephen and I sort of said to Stephen, like, Stephen was brought up in Christian faith.
Mm.
So I turned to him. Since we'd been in Bournemouth, he hadn't gone to church. Obviously, I hadn't gone to church. And I sort of said to him, apart from I went Christmases every so often, I said to him, like, could you help me find a church? Can you? I just want to... I want to see
what this is about, yeah.
You know, I kept watching the YouTube video. And so basically... We looked around a few different places. We went into a couple of places and I just didn't feel right. And then we went to Discovery in Bournemouth.
Okay.
And the moment I walked into that church, the moment I felt, before I walked in, I felt so heavy. And I walked through the door and I got goose pimples and I just felt light. It just felt just something. And I couldn't put my finger on it. Something just felt different.
Mm.
And we went in and we got greeted by people. And, you know, we went in and Stephen was like, should we sit down then? I was like, no, sit in the back. And we sat in the back and the singing started and then the sermon started. And I was captivated. Unlike anything else I'd ever heard, I was like, he's talking to me. He's talking directly, 110% to the situation I was in that moment in time.
Yeah.
It was like God was saying, Talewa, like, Talewa, listen to me. Like, I've tried and tried. Like, listen to me now. This is important. This is an important moment. And I remember just Stephen looking at me and I was just bawling. Tears were coming down my face. And he was like, are you right? Do we need to leave? And I was like, I can't leave. Like, I can't leave. Like, I have to listen. And I remember, like, the next 5, 6, 7 weeks that we went there, it was as if personally it was to me. Like, I know when we go to sermons, there's the great thing about it is you can pick things that you can that can help you. But there's only been certain times when I've sat down and been, that is 100, like, I'm sure it was to other people, but 100% speaking, God was speaking through me. To me.
No, it's interesting because you, as you said before, he's kind of, you've had these little things that happen, these little interventions almost from God throughout your life or moments where you paused and thought a little bit, but then it's not until you properly hear the message that actually, no, I need to really focus on this and understand and go to him really.
Yeah. And that was the moment that I felt like he was just shouting at me. And I feel like the YouTube video, that's when he chucked me that vote. That's when the door flung open and I was like, okay, I don't understand. I still don't understand what's going on, but this is something that's kind of...
So how did you then, if we go a little bit, they're going to shut soon, that's when...
Awesome. Sorry!
No, it's okay. How did you then develop, how did you then grow in your faith? What did that look like, if you could tell us briefly?
Yeah, let me try and think how to make this very, very quick. So Steve and I got engaged in 2017. Mm. We moved to London. And then I remember thinking, right, my life has not been on solid ground. It's not been on solid ground. And how God's brought me this man. He's brought me this man that had everything on my list, apart from a driving license, but he's got that now. But... what about my sin? Who can wash away my sin? Who can give me solid foundation? That can't be anybody but Jesus.
Exactly.
That can't be. And my life, like, God blessed me throughout my life in so many ways, but it was always on unsolid foundation because I'd never put him to the forefront of my life. So what do I need? How do I do that? What do I need to do to do that? And so I was speaking to Pastor Julian and I was like, I was due to get married in 2018. And I was like, I don't want my future to be anyone but through God. I need him to be at the forefront.
Yeah.
So I spoke to my pastor and I said I was getting married in August. And by the time I'd come to this revelation, it was quite close to me getting married. And I said, and we talked about baptism and what that was about. And he said, let's do it. Let's baptise. Let's start it on the right way. And so he said to me, where do you want to be baptised? I said, I need to be baptised in the sea. So he said, right. So he organised it for Bournemouth Beach. I got baptised the weekend before I got married. My mum was the only person I invited, apart from Stephen. My mum... at the point where he said, is there anyone else that wants to be baptised? Anyone feeling the calling? My mum went and got baptised. My mum is now a Christian. And so that was when my journey really became the fact that I was like, yes. We then moved 2017. 2018, we were in Kingston. We then found Cornerstone Church. Pim was the first person I spoke to. He introduced me to Amy. Amy assisted me getting a job at Beatlesford, which I worked for 4 years, which was amazing. And then from there, that's where my journey and my relationship with Christ sort of has been flourishing.
Yeah.
Kind of thing.
Yeah, that's great. If we come to more recent times, can you tell us a little bit about what you've learned in the last year or couple of years?
Yeah, so... I believe God's got a lot he's got to unravel in me. And the last couple of years, God blessed us with Malachi.
Mm, yeah.
So that is such a huge blessing. I believe I'm a very young Christian. Mm. I believe God's given me those roots in Christianity now. Mm. I need to grow the tree, you know. And I think that the last year has been a little bit difficult because we've had miscarriages and failed pregnancies. Mm. But in that, the Lord has shown me his faithfulness, how much he's carrying us as a family. And he shows me wonderful moments with Malachi and he blesses us with Malachi saying, like, can we make this for Jesus? And amen, and dancing. And, you know, I'm thankful to Cornerstone Church for the kids club and how much you know, that helps Malachi and helps me as well. Mm. And yeah, so I think that a lot sort of happened in the last year. And I think that God keeps showing me. I think he's trying to show me contentment at the moment. Contentment. And so we have a lot of lessons that I'm going through. I've recently swapped jobs. And I think God's sort of showing me lessons in that that will, I'm sure, come out in the year in front.
Yeah, yeah. You know. That's great, yeah. Good. And lastly, if you had any advice to give to a younger Christian, what would you say to them?
God has a plan for you.
Yeah.
He has a plan for you.
He's very clear in your life, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, obviously in all of our lives, but in yours in particular, where you would think, oh, but that moment would have made sense for him to speak to you, but actually, or to reach you more. But actually, he just lets you carry on for a set time and then brought you at the time that was right.
His time, his will, exactly. His way. He had the plan. If I was watching my video of my life, I'd be like, then, why didn't you do it then?
Exactly.
Like, that would have saved me. Come on. You know, and I think every hurdle in your life, you know, God does it so you can help someone else.
Mm.
You know, you make that hurdle a little bit lower for someone else. You know, so I wouldn't change my history in no way. But I think have trust in him. Have trust in him. He sees the whole picture. Whatever season you're in, you know, remember God's carrying you.
Yeah.
You know, and when I struggle in those times, I try to look back at the last season. Because I think it's easier to look back and see how things have, how he carried you in that moment.
Yeah.
You know, and how it worked out in God's favour.
Mm.
You know, to just, you know, to honour him, to build you, to knock those edges off you.
Mm-hmm.
So I think for me, I remember reading a book about Psalms 91.
Mm.
And that's been a real holding point. You know, whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadows of the Almighty.
Mm.
Almighty. And I say, Lord, he is my refuge, my fortress, my God in whom I trust.
You know,
and when times are tough, that's what I go to. That's what I read. And I think if I gave someone advice, when you're in church, I remember someone saying to me, it takes 5 years to feel at home in a new church, you know, and because of COVID, you know, that knocked a bit of time off. But try and get involved.
Yeah.
Try and make at least one solid friendship.
Mm.
One person that if you fall off, one person that will actually notice and one person you'll notice if they fall off.
Yeah.
You know, and thank God he's given me that. He's given me my people, you know, and I think that's the that's what helps you when you don't feel strong enough to walk in. Sometimes walking into church is what you need.
Exactly.
So yeah, I don't know if that makes sense at all.
No, it does. Yeah, it's great. And I think, as we've seen in your life, people who were Christians here and there, like your grandparents, or maybe who didn't really share their faith as much with you, but they were there. So you just think, the more involved you are in other people's lives, the better it is to build. I mean, we're a family, aren't we?
So
you can't just be a family without getting to know people and get being accountable, as you say, to others as well, and making them accountable to you in a sense to check that they're walking with Jesus, really. So yeah, that's great. Thank you so much for sharing your story with us.
Sorry it was so long.
No, you're fine, don't worry about it. Thanks everyone for listening. That's all for today's episode of Sister Stories, but join us again next time.